The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." And there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." And they did so. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, without knowing from whence it had come, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. The more you read these Gospels, the more fascinating they become. And the more you begin by believing that the Gospels are good news, your search becomes a search for good news. And we all badly need good news. So let me look at this gospel reading to try to discover some element of the good news revealed in Jesus Christ, which is part of the narrative from this gospel reading, chapter 2 in the book of John. There are many nuances here that have some interest. For instance, in the Gospel of John, the mother of Jesus is never named. If we only had the Gospel of John, we would not know the name of the mother of Jesus. She is called the mother of Jesus or the mother of the Lord, never named in the Gospel of John. And here she has this intervention. They have no wine. Now that's an important element of the story, but it's not really the primary intent of the evangelist. This is the first of the signs that Jesus performs, and there are 7 signs. If you look at your Gospel of John, you will see that beginning here in chapter 2, there's a title, the Book of Signs, and it finishes in chapter 11. The last of the 7 signs, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So these are signs. They're miracles, but John calls them signs. And therefore, it's careful not to cling to the sign, but to look for the reality to which the sign is meant to lead us. Now, we can get into some interesting discussions about the historical detail of the sign. I mean, 150 gallons of wine. That's spectacular. They are going to drink for a long time here with 150 gallons of wine. And no applause.
I just turned 150 gallons of water into wine. I don't hear any applause. I don't hear the people getting excited. The head waiter saying, "You mean you have 150 gallons of this new good wine?" This could last for a long time. However, that's not the intent of the evangelist. It doesn't mean you to concentrate or cling to the sign, but to look for the revelation to which the sign points us. So the 150 gallons, the abundance, is meant to be a statement of the abundance of God's love and the abundance of God's care. When the wine runs out in your life and you turn to Jesus Christ, you are given in superabundance, indicated by the enormous amount of wine. Does it say that the assembly deserved this? No, nothing about deserving. It's a free gift of superabundance. So what does this mean to us? This is the inauguration of the public life of Christ in the Gospel of John. Each Gospel has a different event to indicate the beginning of the public life of Christ. And in the Gospel of John, this is the beginning of the public proclamation of who Jesus is and the teaching, the doctrine he has to share. Now, sometimes when you look at the teachings of Jesus, they will prompt you to some moral imperative. Go and forgive more, be more generous, something like. Other times, however, it's not so much they're prompting you to do something. They are prompting you to think differently, to rediscover a new understanding of God and God's revelation. That's what happens here. It doesn't ask us to do something. It asks us to think of God's revealing presence in a new way. You'll find in the Gospels when Jesus is proclaiming this new public ministry, sayings like, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within you. Now is the moment of revelation. Now is the time of judgment." Now, recently, Gerhard Loehing, this German biblical scholar from Tübingen, has a very interesting reflection on the Christology of Jesus, especially in the Gospel of John. And he says, judgment, or the moment of judgment, is not a judicial exercise. It's not meant to be punitive. It's not like the judge is going to dismiss you or punish you. Judgment in the biblical sense, he says, is a moment of revelation. It's that moment when finally we discover that worldly greed, worldly ambition, worldly power, control, worldly anger, all these things are a lie. That's the judgment. They are a lie. They will not give you life. You may cling to these things. They will not give you life. That's judgment. That's biblical judgment. Biblical judgment is this revelation that when you run out of wine, when your life is empty, when you're bankrupt, and you turn to Jesus Christ, you are given superabundant new wine, better wine, a new understanding of God and God's revelation in your life. That's a superabundance of the new wine in great quantity and with a new gift. This is better than the wine before. This is the wine that really enriches your life. That's the teaching. So what does this mean to us? Well, I was 73 last week. I know, God knows I don't look 73. Everybody says I look incredible. But it's okay. Actually, I don't mind looking 73. I don't want to look 83, but I don't mind looking 73. And I like being 73. It's fine. I don't have any problem. I don't need to get a facelift or something to look younger. I'm just fine the way I am. However, the older I get, and the more I concentrate on the power of Jesus Christ, I have fewer certainties than I had before. I need far fewer certainties. I don't need the reassurance of certainties except just a few. And one of the certainties is the superabundance of God's infinite, unmerited love for me. Now, once I get there, everything else is secondary. That's the fundamental certainty revealed in Jesus Christ. Once you get that, you won't mind being 73. Once you get that, you will have no fear in your life. Anxiety will leave you. You will not be afraid to die. And when you're not afraid to die, you are not afraid to live. You are not afraid to wonder. You are not fearful of questioning things. You are no longer fearful of new ideas. For you have experienced the superabundant love that God has for you, revealed in Jesus Christ and spoken about in this event. Read on in the Gospel of John. This is chapter 3. Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Man is wealthy. He's socially prominent. He's very important. But he comes to Jesus, it says, by night. That doesn't mean he's dark. It means he is in darkness. He's empty. He has everything, but he's empty. And Jesus said, you, Nicodemus, must be born again. Once you're born again, you will be free. Read on, chapter 4 in John's Gospel. Remember that Samaritan woman, a unique person. Jesus says, you've been married 5 times. And the man with whom you are living now is not your husband. But Jesus embraces her and offers her living water, new life, the living water. Chapter 5 in John's Gospel. Read on. There's a man for 38 years. He's a paralyzed person. Jesus gives him life. Chapter 15 in the Gospel of Luke. The prodigal son comes home because he's bankrupt. He's not sorry. Nothing says he's sorry. And he is received and blessed, renewed and restored by the love that God has for him. Bang. It's good news. You read this gospel and let the gospel come to life. Pray the gospel. Meet the person of Jesus Christ. My friend, you will be blessed with superabundant love. And you will walk in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Amen.